The Money Show.
Small business.
Small Business Focus brought to you by Isuzu EasyGo. Why own a pre-built truck when you can rent it thanks to creative solutions from Isuzu Finance? T's and C's apply. Listening to that, Pavlo Fatidis at Auric Business Accelerator. I mean, what? I was going to use it. I nearly swore, actually. What a terrible show that is.
Yeah, it's very, very upsetting, Bruce. And the reason it's so upsetting is because it's been part of an agenda in every economy, every developed economy at least, for years and years and years and years and years. And to my mind, it shows certainly from a government point of view that they don't take it seriously. The reason they don't take it seriously is because I don't think they understand what the impact is. And we have seen many, many great businesses be crushed as a result of it.
What is the impact of a late payment? If you've got a small business and you're doing 10, 20, 50, 100 million, they're all small businesses, a big late bill payment or a non-payment, or as in our caller's experience now, 12 months later on work that you delivered last year, what's the impact on a business?
Look, it kills the cash flow completely, and cash flow to a business is like oxygen to a body. If you start regulating it, or if you start slowing it down, or if you deplete it, the body suffocates and dies. It has a massive impact on confidence from a business owner perspective and from the staffing perspective and from a supply perspective, because the natural thing to then do is, well, I haven't been paid. Who's the most important part of my business? Well, my staff, I need to pay them first. And then after that, I'll pay my suppliers. And if the money hasn't come in and you can't afford to pay staff, or if you short pay staff, or if you have to split the staff payment, your good team look at you and say, well, you know, does this person know what they're doing? Is this a place that I want to hang around in? And you start to lose talent. It also then massively increases the cost of finance, because if you have to get a bridging loan, the only short-term loans to bridge these types of interventions are typically overdraft or very, very expensive short-term loans if you have a relationship with your bank. And on that point, you know, a lot of businesses opt to just close shop. And when that happens, the whole industry pays a price.
The issue of a lack of empathy, and that's really bugging me. I don't care. Or it's not even I don't care. It's just that I don't care enough not even to care. Your concern is not my concern. Yes, I've got the invoice on my desk, but I'm too busy to process it. Or I'm not going to process it. Whatever it might be. That lack of empathy for the people concerned on the receiving end.
Yeah, well, you know, if you think about what empathy is, the first thing to have empathy, you need to have some sense of what the experience is of the person for whom you are hoping to empathize towards. And if you think about it, Bruce, one of the biggest culprits here in late payments is government. So government doesn't pay both big and small businesses promptly and on time. And if you think about people in government, and this is not a criticism to the people in government, it's a reality. By far, the majority of people who work in and through and for government have never created anything or built anything from nothing. So how do you then have that empathy? How do you understand the impact of that? Secondly, they've never run businesses officially, at least, or formally at least. And in that environment, how do you understand the impact of late payments? The same can be said for teams within the corporate environment. A lot of people who are formally employed in corporate South Africa have been employed as employees all their lives. You should have a closer bridge to cross, or smaller bridge to cross, to be empathetic. But if you're simply in a functional role, in a vertical silo, in a corporate where the silos don't talk to each other, it's hard to develop that empathy. And I think it's incumbent upon us as business owners to educate our clients around what it means and what the impact is.
Okay, but in your experience, why does it happen? I mean, is it just fall through the cracks? Is it boredom? Is it incompetence? Is it a lack of empathy? What is it?
Well, you know, you raised a very good point, which is certainly one of the things that I've seen emerge, especially in the South African environment, but now increasingly globally, which are a whole lot of anti-corruption provisions. In many ways, you know, the clumsiness of government's ability to execute and implement and pay for anything once work is done is partly because of the Public Finance Administration Act, which in its own right was designed to prevent corruption. Ha ha. Okay, but it really creates a lot of red tape. But there are other issues as well. It might be cash flow management. You know, some corporates which are pressed can simply just issue a directive that we're going to be paying our suppliers 15 days later this month. There's a lot of complexity in payment processes. There are hundreds of administrative errors. You know, Bruce, the one thing that amazes me, we look at a big brand and a big business with a big balance sheet and big earnings per share and big capitalization numbers. And we as smaller businesses look at them and say, oh, wow, you know, they must be doing something right. Very often, they're big simply because of their history rather than because of a well-built business or a capable, efficient, productive business. Big businesses have many, many, many problems themselves as well. Often there are disputes around the provision of goods and services, and this is where you have to be smart, you know, in the construction industry, where many, 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 many suppliers fulfill roles in a multidisciplinary fashion to get a job done. Sometimes, if one supplier doesn't deliver a service effectively, the next supplier who would build on top of what's been offered by the previous supplier is going to falter and fail as well. And those long supply chains and complex delivery chains around getting the final product delivered for a construction company to be paid so it can pay its suppliers, often that's where these kinds of issues come about. So it's not always intentional, but in some cases, it's just simply a lack of priority. And in my view, that is intentional.
Short of going to position yourself outside the CEO's office or sitting in reception or putting up a cardboard sign outside the head office at the traffic lights, naming and shaming and never working there again, what do you do?
Well, look, there are a couple of things. And the one thing that I think is absolutely essential, the first thing is no one cares about you. Believe you me, if you adopt that view, and you take that view and you sit with that and really embrace it, then it means be prepared to manage your own risk. And the first thing around doing that is decide what industry you're in and stick to your knitting. Don't try and be all things to all people. Know who your customers are before you very happily take on an offer for business. Do a bit of research into a customer, have a look on the internet. There's lots of content available. Do they have a reputation that's favorable or disfavorable? Know the industry or service that you are in. Because if you take on a deal, Bruce, and you don't understand how to deliver that deal, and you don't understand what can go wrong, whether you're providing a service or a product, but you happily grabbed it because it was an exciting opportunity, then you don't know the risks around the ability to deliver something for value and therefore be paid for it. Other factors are, if the business deal that's been put on the table for you is very big and is going to have a massive impact on your revenue, it's going to take up 20, 30, 40% of your turnover. Know that if that deal goes wrong, my word, it can collapse and crash your entire business. And in those instances, go and get some safeguards. Whether it be you can get insurance against delayed payment. There are a whole lot of factors and features. Yes, they're expensive, but rather than grabbing the deal without those protections, remember, guard the downside, but open the upside. Adopt that view and make good decisions around which clients you work with and which clients you don't.
At what point do you get heavy with your clients when they're not paying you? I mean, you should on your contract, on your invoice, make it very clear. Well, I expect payment within 30 days or whatever the case is. And when they breach that, how quickly do you ratchet this up the chain of command within an organization and start getting just a little bit more robust in your inquiries?
It is one of the hardest things to get right. You know, especially in a very low growth environment and especially in an economy where everyone's under a lot of pressure to get business done and to keep cash flows going. You know, the views that I have on this is it's so important that when you sell into a big business, and this is why, Bruce, don't I always make a suggestion to businesses: sell up into a bigger business than yourself, but don't sell up into a big business that is so big that you don't have the ability to create the appropriate relationships. And what I mean by that is this: if you, for example, are selling to Anglo American or to Standard Bank or to MTN or to Barloworld, all in their own right, very, very large businesses, who's doing the selling? Because if you yourself, as the CEO of your own company, are doing the selling and you're working with the business unit manager in order to secure that contract, you have no room to develop relationships in and around either above that person's station or within the person's team. Those relationships are essential to not only educate a client and customer in your business and how your business works, to emphasize the importance of prompt payments. But when something goes wrong, how do you escalate? You have no relationship to escalate above that. Whereas if you're selling into a more medium-sized company, then perhaps one of your business development executives or sales executives does the deal, and you have the opportunity to forge a relationship with a CEO or someone in the C-suite so that when things go wrong, you can have a conversation at the right level. That's one way to do it, through relationships and conversations. The second thing is, don't repeat mistakes. The third is, sometimes you have to be bold. And I learned this lesson from a remarkable business owner that I worked with a number of years ago, who's passed on, unfortunately. And I think it was a real loss to the entire industry. He was in the media industry. He had one very, very, very large customer, which was the national broadcaster. And he was the producer of probably the biggest ever TV product that's existed in South Africa. It was a soapie that commanded a population or a viewership of around 10 million people, had a lot of influence. He had produced and produced and produced. Month one went by, no payment. Month two went by, no payment. He remained true to the commitment of his contract and produced daily episodes, slowly scaling up and escalating the claim for payment, and then eventually stopped supply. And as supply stopped, there was nothing to be broadcast the next day. And that, in its own right, literally put the brakes on this behavior of non-payment. It was immediately escalated to the CEO of the entire SABC at that point in time. Payment was issued the very next day. It takes a lot of courage to do, but if you've got nowhere else to go and you've got nothing to lose, be bold.
Pavlo Fitidis at Auric Business Accelerator. Thank you, Pavlo. And yeah, heart-wrenching stuff. It really is. If you've ever struggled to be paid for delivering a good service and a fair service, and you've got your invoice in, and you can show that you've delivered the work, and you can back up your claim, and you just get ignored, devastating. In a moment, Warren Ingram, Galileo Capital. Money offshore, money not offshore. What do you do in the midst of a mini crisis that has seen the rand lose value and stock markets fall? Warren Ingram on that coming up in a few minutes.